Look at Isaiah 53. We're talking today about intercessory prayer. Intercessory prayer is just one kind of prayer. It was in vogue for a long time to dub every kind of prayer as intercession, and they'll say we're going to have an intercessory prayer meeting. Well, you don't know if you are or not. You're not going to have an intercessory prayer meeting unless the spirit of intercession comes upon you. You might be praying united prayer. You might be agreeing in prayer. Might be the every individual praying the prayer of faith about their own personal need. There are lots of different kinds of prayer. There's the prayer of consecration. So beautiful when you say, just say, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'm dedicated to you. And when you make him the Lord of your life and every footstep's ordered by him, and you just remind him, I'm here and I'm available and I'm going to do what you tell me to. Yeah. So that's a kind of prayer. Worship is a kind of prayer. We prayed already because we worshiped God. So there's the prayer of worship. There are all kinds of prayer. And not to be confused, just like there are all kinds of apples. If you're baking an apple pie, you use a particular kind of apple if you want the best apple pie in the market. So there are all kinds of prayer, and we need to know just a little bit about prayer. It sharpens us in the Spirit and causes us to do a better job for God. Yeah. Now, thank God for the leadership of the Spirit. It don't have to be real smart. You know, if we didn't have the Spirit of God, we'd have to have libraries and teachers every single day, someone pointing us in the right direction. But we have the Spirit of the living God, and he's a teacher of the church. Amen. And he tells you what you need to do. So we don't ever have to falter, never have to worry about doing the wrong thing because we have the Holy Ghost. We have him. Now, Isaiah 53, you may never read verse 12, but let's look at it. This is a chapter about the death and resurrection of the Lord. And it has this word intercession in it, and I want you to see it. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. It says Jesus made intercession. Now that's not talking about the prayer of intercession exclusively, but it's talking about an act of intercession. Intercession is when you take the place of another, you plead another's case, you go on behalf of another. And when it talks about his death, about his resurrection, what he did for all mankind, for God so loved the world, it says he made intercession. He made intercession. It was an act of intercession. It was a work of intercession. Now, I perhaps can't do an act or a word of intercession in that I physically can't go in your place and physically do what you're supposed to be doing, but I can always stand in your place in prayer. Yes. You know, if you have a substitute school teacher and they just go to the office and sit all day, they didn't substitute. If they're going to take your place, they have to go to the classroom. They have to open whatever notebook that they record the assignment for the day, and they have to follow those notes. They have to do what you would do if you were there. They're substitutes. They're intercessors. An intercessor is a substitute, one that goes for you. I read in the newspaper about a lady several years ago. She had numerous traffic tickets. She totally ignored them. I mean, had lots and lots of them. And she just let them stack up, and they sent her some notices, and she just put the notices in with the stack and didn't pay attention. Well, one day they came and arrested her. Now, she was an ordinary lady, not a criminal, really, not of criminal mindset, but she was just negligent. She just didn't think that was too important. Well, the government did. And they arrested her. Well, the judge sentenced her to, I don't remember if it was 60 days or 90 days in jail. And her husband went to the judge on her behalf and said, can I go in her place? Can I serve her sentence? Well, that's an unusual thing. That actually happened, and the judge granted that. So he went to jail for 60 days, and when he went, she didn't have to go. He was an intercessor. He went in her place. He took her place. Now, if you needed $10, Wayne and I can do that. If you need $100, we can get that together. But you're going to come to a point where I can't take your place. I can't meet your need. You're going to be over my head. Uh-huh. But I can always take your place in prayer. I can always stand before the Father, and first I start with the Word of the living God and say, Father, you promised to meet their need out of your riches and glory. Amen. You're their God. You're the God of supply. You're the one that's more than enough. And you said if they'd give, it'd be given unto them good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I begin to intercede. I begin to take your place. Intercession is standing in the place of another, taking the place of another. Now, the reason this verse is so exciting, it says, Jesus made intercession. That's that same word. He took your place. He stood in your place. What does that mean? Acts chapter 2 says his soul was not left in hell. Now, the Father laid sin on Jesus. Jesus didn't have any sin. He laid our sin on Jesus because he's going to intercede for us. He's going to take our place. Intercession is when you take somebody's place, you stand on their behalf, you defend them, you say and do what needs to be done in order to bring them victory. And it says he is going to intercede for mankind. Now, I want to show you something. Well, you know, teachers are word people, and so I'm a word person. But look at verse 6. This is so exciting. This doesn't light your fire. Your wood got wet in the hurricane. You need to just stand and dry it out. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. It says the Lord hath laid on him. That word laid, the Lord hath laid on him, is the identical word that we just read in verse 12. It's not a different word. It's the same word. The Lord hath laid on him is the same word, and he made intercession. It's identical. In other words, God laid sin on him. He laid my sin on him. He laid the sin of the world on him, and the sickness and disease of the world, the poverty of the world, so that the world could be free, so they could come to him and be free. It says the Lord did that. Now it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. It's so obvious that it was done for us, that act of intercession. Now, Jesus went to hell. He went so you don't have to go. Isn't that good news? I am so glad. Look at Acts chapter 2. Let's read a verse or two. Acts 2:27. Talking about Jesus. He was wounded for our. The Lord laid on him our. He interceded for us. He stood in our place. He pled our case. Oh, thank God he did, because if you'd had to go for yourself, you'd have been stuck there. You wouldn't have had any way to get up out of hell. They could holler, rise and shine all they wanted to, but you couldn't rise and shine. You belonged there. You were a sinner, but you can come to God and be saved by grace. Amen. Now look, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now you can't be left anywhere you haven't been. I was almost left in Germany one time. What a horrendous experience. The problem was we had rented a car and we couldn't read the road signs as to exactly where we were supposed to be. And we couldn't park the car. We were supposed to park it in a particular place at the airport, but we couldn't read the sign, so we don't know if this is the place or not. So Wayne dropped me off, and I went with the luggage. It's an ominous airport because their guards are these huge guns and big dogs. And I don't know if it's that way now, but it was that year. And he didn't come. Wayne didn't come. He 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 didn't come. And I'm looking at my watch, and one thing I can tell, time in Germany is the same it is in America, and it's later than you think. I mean, it's getting late. Well, he parked the car in one spot. He went up, turned his keys in, and they'd say, sir, he took the ticket, you know, where he parked the car, and said, you've parked the car in the wrong spot. You need to park in a particular spot. So he got lost going out of the airport. He got on the Autobahn by mistake, and he's headed in the wrong direction away from the airport. It's a long time before he could turn around, come back, and then repark the car in a different spot, but also the wrong spot. You know, and I thought, well, I'm not going to get on the plane if he doesn't come. We'll at least be left together. And finally, here he comes. I could see. He's just trucking it. And he says, grab your bag, get in this line. And so we grabbed our bag and we headed out. And the lady checked us out and said, ma'am, you need to hurry. And we knew that and we headed off. I didn't want to be left in Germany. Right. I loved Germany. Magnificent country. So beautiful. So beautiful. Prettiest flowers you've ever seen in your life. But I wanted to come home. Now it says Jesus wasn't left in hell. You can't be left anywhere you hadn't been. I've never been left in New York. I was at the New York airport, but I've never gotten past the airport. I've never been in Japan, although it looks like I'm going to the Philippines one day soon. I've never been left in the Philippines. I haven't been there. When it says he wasn't left in hell, he had to have been there. What was he doing? He went as your substitute. He was your intercessor. Amen. He was your intercessor. An intercessor is one who goes where you would have gone. You know, if I send Wayne to the store a loaf of bread, if I decide after he leaves, well, I think I'll just go get bread. He'd want to know what I'm doing. He went for me. If he had known I was going to go, he would never have gone. Yeah. Ain't that right? Yeah. You know, sometimes late at night I get an urge for chocolate mint ice cream. Oh. And I say to Wayne, he's not very mobile after 10 o'clock. And I said, hey, you want some mint chocolate chip ice cream? He said, yeah, dip me a little. I like to set him up, you know. And I said, we don't have any. I'm trying to get him to go as my substitute. I could have gone, but I didn't want to go. I'm trying to get him to go. I'm motivating him to go get it. So then I say, well, how about butter pecan? He loves butter pecan. That's one of his favorites. He said, oh, yeah, butter pecan will do. I say, we don't have any. Trying to get an intercessor as a substitute, one to go for you. I'm trying to get him to go in my place. Now, Jesus, it says he made intercession. That means he went in your place. He did it so that you wouldn't have to go. He went to hell. He faced the devil. He came up victorious. He came up triumphant so that you could come up triumphant. Now, look at Job chapter 9. What is an intercessor? And it's like an attorney. Chapter 9. Job's looking for an intercessor. The word here in verse 33, chapter 9, is daysman. Now, Job had decided there's no way he can be right with God. Verse 30, he said, if I wash myself with snow water, make my hands never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. He said, it doesn't matter what I do, there's nothing I can do. Nothing I can do. He said, I could wash with snow water. And still, he said, I'm not going to be worthy. I'm not going to be acceptable to you. But he said, he's not a man talking about God as I am, that I should answer him. In other words, he said, I'll just go explain this to God. I'll just say, you know how I am. That's what we do, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know how I am. Or we pray for people, but we don't have any expectation of an answer because we say, you know how she is. No, throw doubt to the wind. Yes. Rebuke doubt. Yes. Don't stand in doubt. This is a confidence we have in him. So he said, he's not a man's I am, that we should I should answer him. We should come together in judgment. Neither is any, and the word is daysman. Daysman, a daysman. A daysman is like an umpire. When you go to a baseball game, they have an umpire. That umpire is supposed to represent both teams. He's supposed to do justice on behalf of both teams. And Job says, I've got to have an umpire here. I've got to have someone that can put one hand in God and one hand on me and bring the two of us together. And that's what 1 Timothy 2:5 said. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That daysman, that mediator, is the intercessor, is the substitute. Oh, thank God. Yeah. Now look at Isaiah 59, verse 16. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, I love the truth. Yes. Now this chapter, you go home, you read it. Verse 2 says, their iniquities have separated between you and your God. We got a sin problem here. All through this chapter. Verse 12, their transgressions are multiplied. But look over at verse 16. They're seeking an answer. Their sins are multiplied. They have transgressions. They're separated from God. And he said, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there's no intercessor. He said, where's the intercessor? Another, where's the mediator? Where's the daysman? Where's the one that can put one hand on God, one hand on man? Where's the substitute? He's looking around at the sin, sees the people in sin, sees the degradation, and said, where's the intercessor? Where's the intercessor? Where's the substitute? I think God does that to church today. He sees people ought to be on their knees and pray. That ought to say. That ought to stand in heavenly places on behalf of needs. And he says, where's the substitute? Where's the intercessor? Now look at 1 Corinthians. He said, there's no intercessor. There's no substitute. Where's the substitute? You know, if they call you to substitute the school and you don't show up, how angry is that going to make you? I mean, if you wait 8 o'clock and they don't come, 8:30, they're not there, 9 o'clock.
How angry is it
going
to make me? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to be living.
See, when you make a commitment to be a substitute, you're supposed to be there.
That's right.
Aren't you supposed to be there? Yeah. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, verse 17. An intercessor is a substitute, at ones who pleads your case, at ones that goes for you, ones that stands where you would have stood. And we can be intercessors. Here's how we're going to do it. Verse 17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now, I don't know too much, but I am joined to one that knows everything. It's a good deal.
Hallelujah.
He that's joined to the Lord, he's that joined, there's one spirit. I'm one spirit with the Lord. He knows everything.
Yes.
He knows everything. I had a long list of errands I'm going to run years ago. Had them on a piece of paper. Don't write too much down because I have a pretty sharp memory. But I've had my errands very written down. And my first errand, my spirit's bothering me. It's beginning to churn, beginning to turn. I could recognize God's trying to get my attention. But, you know, I haven't got time today. I got this list of errands. I got things to do. And, oh, thank God he's patient with us. So I ran my first errand. And I tell you, my spirit, man, you're a spirit being. and you're joined unto God. He's the head and you're the body. You're joined. You're joined. You're joined unto Him, and God's up to something. He's trying to get my attention. He's calling me in the Spirit. I didn't hear my name, but there's a divine churning, a divine tuning into Him. He said, Becky, will you help me? Will you help me? Will you help me? You know, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. He's trying to get help. He's trying to get man on earth to help Him. Yes. We're joined to Him not for the ride. But to obey Him that dwells inside. Amen. Oh, thank God. Well, finally I got in the bookstore and I said, oh, forget it. I'm just going home. Forget the errands. And on the way home, I began to pray. I began to sense there's danger somewhere, some really big danger. Well, that was the day I grew up in Auburndale. That was the day the tornado hit Auburndale Junior High. And I knew that that's what God's trying to get me to do. He's trying to get me to stop everything. See, He knows all things, and I'm joined to Him. That's how I'm going to be an effective substitute. I'm going to obey the Spirit of God and be where He tells me to be, in the Spirit. Yes. I can't be there physically, but I can be there in the Spirit. Yes. I can be joined to Him, hear what His heartbeat is. And a lot of times I have a churning, I pray, don't have a clue what that was. You know, some things God just needs somebody to help Him. He doesn't tell you what it is. None of your business anyway, and you go on with life. But sometimes you do know. And that day I was well aware, especially after the news came out, that's what I had in the Spirit. It was that tornado. See, I'm connected. I'm joined to Him who knows all things. Him who knows all things. Him who knows all things. Now, some things are not going to be easy. This is the only time I ever heard this happen. This probably never, ever happened again. Never happened to you. It was a wonderful thing. This lady went into the convenience store, the quick food store, and the clerk behind the counter looked depressed, and she said, I guess you've had a hard day. This really happened. And the clerk said, no, I haven't had a hard day at all. I haven't had a hard day. She says, I'm lost. I need to get saved. I don't know how to get saved. Does somebody just come along and tell me how to get saved? Wow. I said, God, I could do that. I could do that. It's probably not going to be that easy. But as you're going through life, there's going to be a stirring on the inside. See, there's going to be a churning. And God wants you to turn your spirit over to Him. I began to speak words. See, and those words are going to heaven, and they're coming from heaven and reaching down into somebody's heart and pulling them out of hell. And into eternal life. And you were their substitute. You were connected and joined with the Lord, and you got that information from the head of the church to whom you were joined. We could add new meaning to that old song. You know, I was raised in old song. Old people know old songs, and I'm not old, but I am older than I used to be. And we sing, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. Now, our children were in a car accident, nearly killed. Suzanne was in the hospital 7 or 8 days, and Joel was in the hospital overnight. And I remember going under the traffic light down from the house, and I had this thought, they were both together. I heard those words, they're both together. And I thought, that could be important. Went right on teaching 3 groups a week. I'm a busy person, so I don't have time to figure that out. I'm going to figure that out after a while. I made a covenant. I said, well, I'll get back to that. Next time I went under that traffic light, I guess going home, I heard those same words. They're both together. Well, my children came to that intersection. We're in an automobile accident. It was early in the morning. I got a call on the phone. Hadn't even gotten out of bed yet, and said, are you Joel's mother? And I said, yes. And they said, well, he's been in a wreck. And then, of course, the radio announced that they were both dead. That's really frightening. And I went down there, and Suzanne's in a fetal position on the edge of the road. And Joel, who's unconscious, but he's boxing the EMT people, even though he has his eyes closed and he's totally unconscious. You know, but God rescued us. Somebody was listening that morning. I went on the phone. I don't know what happened. I just went to the phone. I just punched in a number. I couldn't even get my vision clear on my phone list. I got a phone list of my faithful friends and those people I know would pray for me, and I'm going to call somebody to pray. I'm headed to the emergency room, but I couldn't remember. I couldn't see my list, so I just went, ding, 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 ding. And it happened to be a lady that knew me and recognized my voice. I didn't recognize her voice. And she said, Becky, what is it? What is it? What is it? She says, I've been praying for you and your children all morning. I got up at 5 this morning. The Lord said, pray for Becky's children. God had it covered. Somebody was listening. Somebody stood in my place. Somebody stood in Joel and Suzanne's place. They're alive today because somebody was listening to heaven. Somebody had a divine churning in the early hours of the morning. And instead of enjoying their rest, they got up out of bed. Thank God they did. Thank God they did. Thank God they did.
Yes.
And there's rescue. There's freedom and deliverance. Because somebody was listening. And I could have done it myself, but you'll notice that I didn't. It almost cost me my children. Then who am I going to blame? God tried to tell me they'd be both together. They were on their way to school. Joel was driving. They were both together. That's what God said. Now look at Hebrews chapter 7. Oh, thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. I just love the Word. Love the light of the Word. This is talking about Jesus. Magnificent verse. Therefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus, for the last 2,000 years, has been seated on the Father's right hand, making intercession, addressing the Father about the needs of the world, the needs of mankind. Oh, thank God. Now, let me read you some translations. I love translations. Here's the New Century. He always lives asking God to help them. Talking about those that would come, those in distress, asking God. He says he's living, asking God. Can you imagine somebody following you around just in case you needed something? Well, that might get old, hadn't it? You might want a minute alone. But can you imagine somebody always at your disposal? Ministry of Helps is like that. I've seen some wonderful helpers. If you turn around, they stand and you thought, I need a Kleenex, and there they are with the Kleenex. It's absolutely amazing, the anointing of a helper. You cough one time, there they are with the water. See, they're absolutely there to help. It says he ever lives, standing before the Father, asking God to help you. Constantly asking God to help you. Well, he's not going to do that alone. I'm going to help him help you. You're going to help him help me. We're going to help him reach a lost world. Now, let me read you the message I love. Always on the job. Always on the job. You don't catch Jesus sleeping. He says, always on the job to speak up for them. Would you like somebody to speak up for you? Well, God's always on the job, see? To speak up. To speak up. To speak up. You ever talk to somebody that whispered? I call it mumbling.
Yes.
One thing that's aggravating, especially as you get older, is mumblers. Isn't that right? I want to say, just speak up. Do us a favor. Speak right out loud. It'll be all right. Oh, Jesus is not tongue-tied. There he is. In God's presence, speaking up on your behalf. There he is. In God's presence, speaking up for your victory. Oh, you're joined to him in spirit. He depends on you. He depends on you. Now, let me read you another one. He always lives to speak to God for you. You know, now, if you had connections, somebody's all the time thinking I have some connections. They think I can do what I can't really do. And they say, will you tell so-and-so for me? I said, you know what? I'd have to call his reception, ask if he's in, ask if I can have a moment with him. You can do that. I said, you tell him. You call. They think I can speak on their behalf, that I can speak to him, that because of me, he'll do something. But 'tis not true. I said, you call the receptionist. You speak up. See, God's going to call in the morning. God's going to call at noon. God's going to call you at midnight, so keep your heart in tune. He said, will you stand in their place in the morning? I said, no, not today, God. I have errands to do. Call me later this evening, Lord. Oh, I hope I'm not too tired for you. See, that's what we do. Here, daughter, I meant to. Oh, I started to. You know, I headed in that direction, then I forgot it. But God's going to call you at midnight. God's going to call you at 6 o'clock too. He's going to say, will you stand in the Spirit? Today, Becky does need you. He needs you. You're joined to him. You can hear from him. Now, look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. Now it says, if the gospel be hid, that's verse 3. It's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Do you see the problem with those who are lost? They don't see. You know, a blind man doesn't see. Our house is pitch black. You know, and I'm shifty. I don't know about you, but I shift things. I love shift things. I move things. That's truth. I move the paintings. I move the flowers. I move the lamps. I move the end tables. I move the chairs. And then what happens? You get up in the middle of the night and that piece of furniture was there, but I moved it this morning. It's over here. It is dark. I mean, it is dark, 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 dark. And you bump into something because you can't see. Now, if those people knew they were fixing to go off into hell, they wouldn't do it. If they were in their right mind, if they had real understanding, if they knew hell was hot,
yes,
and heaven was glorious,
yes,
if they knew their sins had been paid for, but it says they're blind. They can't see that. Now that's why I'm going to join an intercession. I'm going to join an intercession because they are blind, and I can, if we can pray and their eyes will be opened, and we can,
yes,
and we can,
yes,
and we can, and they see the truth, they're going to come to him.
Oh,
yes. Oh, they're going to come to him. They're going to come to him. Now look at Isaiah 43. Nobody goes past the barrier and the flashing light and the sign that says bridge out, plunges off into the river and dies. You know, if they really believe that sign, they're going to stop. They're going to turn around. They may be inconvenienced. They may not like the other route they have to take, but they're going to do it because they're concerned about their safety and protection. See, and these lost people are blind. They don't see. What are we going to do about it? They don't see. They don't understand. But if I can get them in the light just 1 minute, so that's what prayer does. That's what the intercession does. I begin to intercede. I begin to pray. Now look what it tells us to do. Verse 26, God says, who said this?
God.
Put me in remembrance.
Yes.
Well, I can't remind you of something you hadn't ever heard before. Somebody's all the time trying to do that. You remember so-and-so, and she did so-and-so, and I'm thinking, I can't remember her. Did we ever meet her? You can't remind me unless I was there and heard all those words.
Uh-huh.
And so God says, remind me. And it's not that he's going to forget.
That's right.
He wants to make sure you didn't.
Yeah.
He said, remind me. And he wants you to remind him of his word. He doesn't want you to remind him of, oh, God, you see all the awful things they've done? You know how long they've been on drugs? Do you know how they hate you? You know how they hate the church? You know how their mother, oh, my. You know, they were abused, you know. Everybody wants to bring the past up into the present and camp in it, wallow in it, and destroy life with it.
Mm-hmm.
No, there's some things that are behind you and leave them there.
That's right.
Just leave them there.
Uh-huh.
Past doesn't belong to today.
Yes.
Put me in remembrance. And God said, let us plead together. We're going to plead together. In other words, I'm going to say what God is saying. No matter what I'm doing, I'm going to pray the word. I'm going to say what God is saying. I said, God, you said you're not willing that they perish. He said to remind him of that.
Yeah.
That's why I'm doing it.
Uh-huh.
He said he wanted all to be saved, come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm going to remind him that.
Yes.
Now, we can't plead together if Wayne and I go to Pastor. And I said, Pastor, could you loan us $1 million? And Wayne says, no, $500,000 would do. I'm going to go. I mean, if we had discussed in advance, decided this is what Pastor could do for us. Have you ever had that happen? You thought you were in agreement. You thought you were together. You went together and you said, what we need for you to do for us is to sign this paper and to sign it by tomorrow. And the other person says, well, if you sign it by the end of the week, you're going, God says, plead together. That means we're saying the same thing. God says, by Jesus stripes, you were healed. If I'm going to plead together with him, I got to say the same thing. We've got to be on the same page. I can say, God, you see their pain. You know they had major surgery. They know the doctor says he won't recover. God knows all that. He's not dumb. He's not stupid. You don't have to tell him that. He said, plead with me. Say what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And once I make up my mind, I'm going, you know, a lady came to me and she said, I need thus and thus, and I have a friend with money. I thought it's the silliest thing I ever heard in my life. She said, I believe the Lord is dealing with me to just go ask him to give me the money. It was a huge sum of money. I thought, you are kidding. Now, I couldn't digest that to say I would never do that. Never, never, never. And I said, are you sure? I thought, I'm going to try to tell her. It doesn't sound like God to me. You know, she said, I believe they'll just give me the money. I thought, right. And I tried to discourage him. I said, you think that through very carefully. You pray about that again. Make sure that you're really led of the Spirit, because that's a very unusual thing. And she heard from God. She went. She said, can you write me a check for $10,000? They said, certainly. She said, I'll never be able to repay that. And they said, no sweat, no problem. Don't worry about it. She came with the check, and I looked, and I thought, she did hear from God.
Wow.
I mean, she must have worked. Now, she and I weren't pleading together. She said, this is what I think I'll do. And I'm thinking, I'm saying, no, this won't work. We're not pleading together. So many times as we pray, we're not pleading with God. He says, healed, healed, healed. And we say, oh, so sick, so sick, so sick. Or we say, so lost, so far from God, so stubborn, so hard-hearted, so hard-headed. We're not pleading with God. He said, remind me of my word and let's plead together. Say what I'm saying. I said, God, you said you weren't willing that they perish. You said you were long-suffering, merciful. You said your mercy endured forever.
Yes.
You said whosoever call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I believe they're called upon you. I'm binding that foul spirit that blinds their mind, blinds their heart so that they don't see truth. And I believe they're going to see truth and they're going to come running to the kingdom. I'm saying what God is saying. I'm reminding him. We're pleading together. We're saying the same thing. A lot of times people don't get healed. Wayne and I did this at a seminar. It worked out great. We didn't mean to do it. I mean, it just kind of worked that way. And I said, I want you to contradict every word I say. And I said, if Wayne comes in one day sick and I said, oh, I'm so glad we know the healer. And he said, I feel like death walking. And I said, it's a good thing, isn't it, that Jesus heals the body and by his stripes you were healed and he sent his word and heal you. He said, I think I have to lay down. I don't know if I can make it through the day or not. Now, we ain't pleading together.
No.
We're just flat not pleading together. We got to plead together. God said, let's do this together. Let's do this together. Why? Because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. We're joined to him to do this together. Now, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to start with the word. We're going to do this together. And I look quick at 1 Corinthians 14. Now, that may be all I do. That may be not all I do. I'm going to pray by the Spirit, by divine unction. I'm going to pray until I know, till I'm satisfied that God's done everything he wanted to do through me. Through me. Now it says, you know this verse, verse 15, chapter 14. I will pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with the understanding. When we pray the word, we pray with the understanding. I believe the word, I know God's word is true. I pray that word, I put him in remembrance, I plead together. He said, declare thou. All three of those expressions used in Isaiah 53 are done with words. You plead with words, you declare with words. You put him in remembrance with words. Those are words. He says, speak some words, speak some words, speak some words, speak some words. Somebody's all the time trying to get out of that part, speaking the word part. They'll say, I'm just really shy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't say much, you know. Well, you know how I am. I said, and you am and not going to change if you don't speak up.
That's right.
I said, even if you go home, shut your bedroom door, open your Bible. So speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, sing, make melody in your heart to the Lord. You got to speak up. God says, speak up, church, speak up.
Yes.
And he says, speak in union, in conjunction with me, say what I'm saying. And he said, and then pray in the Spirit. Now I can actually pray in the Spirit in English or in other tongues. What happens is I go through the word. I claim the promise. I know if you have financial problem, I say, Father, who are the giver? And he gives, and I know it'll be given to him today, and I know you'll meet his need. I'm praying the word. And then I check my spirit. Okay, he needed more than that. That wasn't enough. Sometimes that's enough. But that wasn't enough today, I can tell. And I go, and so many times when I pray in the spirit, I switch back to English by divine unction. I know what else I need to say. Oh, it's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Wonderful thing. Now by divine unction, I know exactly what I need to say. The other day I knew what I said. I prayed in the Spirit till I got in the Spirit. You know what that means? You pray till you pray.
Yeah.
But I prayed in the Spirit till I was actually in the Spirit. I was more conscious of spiritual things than I was of natural things. And that's what we do. We start with the scripture. We claim the promise. Then we pray in other tongues. We get ourselves in position. You know, when you get on the horse, you got to be in the center of the saddle. If you're not, you're going to fall off. And you get up there and you position yourself. One day I was in the barn and I had my feet up on the saddle. I wasn't in the stirrups. I was waiting on another rider and I'm going to go out behind him because this old boy I'm riding is not a leader. He's a follower and he's not going first out of the barn. You can forget it. And so I'm not in the mood to tangle with him. I'm just not going to. And I thought, this lady's leaving. I don't know who she is, but he'll follow her. So I'm waiting. So the other lady, seeing that he's not moving, she thinks I'm ready. She didn't pay any attention. That's what we do sometimes. We're not paying attention to God. He's calling. He said, Becky, 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 Becky. I got things to do, things to do, things to do, and I'm not listening. So she took the rake and she slung it. Bam! I wasn't ready. I'm telling you. I didn't have my feet. I was just lounging on top of the horse. And he went flap, 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 flap. And I went flying through the air. Bam! I wasn't the same for days. For days, I kept saying, healed, yeah. Healed, yeah. Healed, yeah. Healed. But I won't tell you, I'm a smart person. I was pleading together with God. I wasn't saying, my hip hurts, my hip's killing me. I don't know if I'll ever get over this. Hope I haven't broken a bone, cracked a bone. You can say what you want to, but I'm going to plead together with Almighty God.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
right. And then I'm going to pray in the Spirit, see if God wants to do anything else. You know, He has to orchestrate this thing. He has to say the right words, the right people, the right places. He has some mighty big things He can do. God can do some things that'll just blow you out of the water. You know, we'd have it our way. Have it our way. You know, if the word came to us, Daniel's been thrown to lions, then we'd get the military, we'd get the committee together, and so what do you think we can do? And the committee would say, well, do we have a plan of the palace? Anybody got an architectural rendering, floor plan, so we can know how to get into that lion's den? And then we'd say, count our men, see how many men we have, see if we can actually get in there with the men we got. And then somebody check the guard schedule, see when the guard passes back and forth.
Right.
That's the way we'd do it.
That's right.
That's the way we'd do it.
Uh-huh.
But see, when I pray in the Spirit, it says, I'm praying according to the perfect will of God. God said, I'll do it. This is how I'm going to do it. I said, what did He say? I don't have a clue.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Sometimes He gives me a clue if I'm involved.
Uh-huh.
If I'm the laborer, then when I pray, I might know. I said years ago, a lady was telling me that somebody had this need. So they really have that need. And I said, Ma, that's real important. The body of Christ, somebody ought to meet that need. I said that with my own mouth. And I was telling Wayne about it. I said, you know, so-and-so and so-and-so, they really have that need. Somebody ought to do that for them. He said, yeah, they should. They should. We agreed. Somebody ought to do that. And 2 or 3 days later, I thought about it, and I said, you know, God, that's real important. It's important to them. It's important to you. It's a really major need. And I know you've got a laborer out there. Somebody ought to do that.
Yeah.
I did that 3 or 4 times, and then one day I had this divine unction that I was the one.
Yeah.
And I said to Wayne, don't you think somebody ought to do that? He said, yeah. I said, you know, I think I'm the one. And I know it's going to cost over $1,000. That's my thinking. I said, how much do you think it's going to cost us to do that? He said, 1,000, maybe, a little over. I thought, God, do you know what you're doing? $1,000 to meet this need? Well, Wayne said, it is God. We're going to do it. We'll get the money together. So I got to searching to put some things together that would meet this need and got it all done for $125. Oh, thank God! Who would have thought it? I'll be somewhere listening. Are you listening to God? Are you going to be the substitute? Are you going to be the prayer? Are you going to be the one to orchestrate it in the Spirit? Are you going to be the one to provide the answer? Are you going to be the one to go in conjunction with God? Are you? Are you? Are you? It says He's ever living, continually on the job interceding. But He's dependent upon me to join with Him and to pray. And sometimes there's more than prayer involved. Sometimes I'm the laborer, the doer as well. Oh, thank God. What a pleasure it is to pray. Now it says, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm going to pray in the understanding. Then quickly to Romans 8 and we'll be through. I mentioned this morning, I want to mention it again. You can pray the Scripture, put God in remembrance, plead together with Him, come into agreement with God, say what God is saying, pray in other tongues. Sometimes that's just enough. And then sometimes it's not enough. Not enough, not enough. There comes a groaning in the Spirit, a moaning in the Spirit. Verse 26 we read this morning. I guess we should read one more at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. or which cannot be spoken in articulate speech, or some say groanings which are beyond words. In other words, you get to the point and the burden of what you're praying about is so, it's so heavy. There's no more you can say. No more you can say in English. No more scripture to quote. No more you can say in other tongues. It's just heavy. It's heavy. And it's important to God, and it's churning in your spirit, and you're connected to Almighty God. See, the compassion of God causes that thing to come upon you. God has great compassion on people. His mercy endures forever. And in His mercy, He wants to meet needs. He wants the lost to be saved and financial needs to be met. He wants His people to be blessed and walk in great victory. And when He sees a dilemma, He begins to search for somebody in the body who will be joined to Him enough in spirit to take on that burden, who will go as far as necessary. Now let me tell you about the lost. A gentleman used to come by our house all the time. I mean, it seemed like once a week. Maybe it's just once a month. But I mean, for years. And every time he'd come, he'd say, "I'm not saved." I don't know how many times we told him. We read the scripture to him. We said, "Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." "Did you call?" "Yes, you called." "When you baptized, did you really mean that? Was that an outward sign of what you had done in your heart?" "Oh, yes." "And you confessed Jesus as your Lord?" "Yes." "And you meant that. And you're going to live for Him?" "Yes." I said, "How can you not be saved?" I said, "You believe Jesus took your sins?" "Oh, yes, I do." "You believe He died and rose from the dead?" "Oh, yes, I do." I said, "You're saved." We'd talk him into it. It wouldn't be 3 or 4 weeks, he's back again. He says, "I was at church Sunday morning." It took me a while to catch on. I'm learning all the time. He says, "I was at church Sunday morning." This man was baptized any number of times. He'd just be overwhelmed, and after a while he'd think, "Well, I'm not saved. I couldn't possibly be saved." And he'd walk the altar call again, talk to his pastor, and they'd baptize him again. Well, suddenly it dawned on me, oh, thank God for the Holy Ghost, that he was in intercession. See, when you're in intercession, there's a depth of intercession that's beyond the quoting of the scripture, that's beyond the praying in other tongues, that's beyond the interpreting those tongues, or beyond speaking in English by divine unction, that's beyond groanings, where actually you sense the person that you're dealing with, that you're praying for, you sense the dilemma that they're in. And when the altar call, and today, if that old boy if he talks to you about Jesus, you might as well repent, because you're going to get saved. I've never known anybody that can do what he does. He's absolutely gifted of God. And see, all of that time, God was working through him and dealing with him. And every time they'd give an altar call, that spirit of that intercession would come on. He would begin to stand in the place of the lost, and then he felt lost.
Wow.
He felt lost. He said, "I couldn't be saved." I said, "How come you couldn't be saved?" I don't know how many times I said, "Did you call on the Lord?" "Yes." "Did you ask Him to save you?" "Yes." "Do you believe He died and rose from the dead?" "Yes." "Do you believe He took your sins?" "Yes." "Do you believe your sins are blotted out?" "Yes." I said, "You are saved." All of that time it was intercession, see? He sensed the need of the lost. He felt lost because he's being used of God to stand in their place. And there's a depth of intercession that's beyond. We quote the scripture. We stand on the scripture. We believe in the mighty word, the promises of God that come true. And we pray in the Spirit so the Holy Spirit can do the will of God. And then we interpret that, or we pray again in English as the Lord gives us some divine word, some divine unction. And then groanings or travail may or may not come upon us. But when you're praying for the lost, groanings come more regularly for praying for lost than for anything else. It says when Zion travails, she brings forth her children. And when you're praying for the lost, you're going to have more groaning than when you pray about other things, because that's what the scripture says. But see, he had that intercession that would come on him at altar time. And all God wanted him to do was to stand back there and pray and stand in the Spirit in the gap for those people who needed to answer that day. And I said, if you'll stand back there and if you'll just pray and you'll say to God, just quietly to yourself, "I know they're here and they're hearing from you right now and they're coming. They're going to call upon you and they're going to let the church know that they've called upon you." I said, do your part. God's looking for an intercessor. You're not lost. They're lost. You're sensitive. In their need. See, intercessors begin to sense the need of another. And let me give you one final example. It says when Zion travails, there's going to be more groaning and more travailing and praying for the lost and praying for other things. Yeah. Yeah. Late at night I had an unction to pray for a pastor's wife that I knew. I thought, I couldn't get past it. See, there's a stirring. There's a sense of something. You may know what it is. You may not know what it is. But that particular day I knew. And I said, "Dwayne, it's late," and we had gone to bed. I said, "I got to get up. I got to get up. I got to get up." And I start praying in the Spirit, because I can't pray the Word. I don't know what she needs. And I start praying in the Spirit. And the more I prayed in the Spirit, the sicker I got. I mean, I got nauseous. And then I found out that the very moment that we were praying, she had food poisoning and almost died. You know, and I thought, I'd quit praying. I felt fine. I said, oh, no, I'm all right. I'm not sick. And I'd go back, I'd go back praying for her, and then I think, I feel awful. I told Wayne, I feel so sick. I think, somebody else have to pray. I feel sick. This is how I found out a lot of things I know. Did the wrong thing first. And I'd quit praying, and I thought, oh, no, I feel fine. I'm not sick. I'd go back to pray, and I'd feel sick again. And then it dawned on me. I said, you know, she's really sick, really sick. So the next day I made inquiry. They said, she almost died last night. She had food poisoning. Is God good?
Yes.
Is God good?
Yes.
Are you listening to Him?
Yes.
Are you going to be His intercessor? Are you going to stand in the place of another? Are you going to plead their case? Jesus stood in your place. He went to hell for you. And all He wants us to do is listen to Him, hear from heaven, and stand in somebody's place. Do the work of God on the earth. Be joined to Him. Follow. I will follow you, Lord. If it's convenient, Lord, if I have the time. I had unction to pray for a lady. I saw her in the spirit. And I knew who it was. Didn't see her face, but I knew who it was. And I said, you know, I need to check on her. Well, I said, well, I got to teach tomorrow, so I'll study today, so tomorrow afternoon. But tomorrow afternoon after I taught, I was so tired, I said, Lord, I can't check on her today. I'll check on her. Well, I got a class due Wednesday, so I'll check on her Thursday. And then I had another class Thursday, and I said, Friday I'll check on her. But you know what happened before I checked on her? She had a stroke. She died. I was listening. I know what God wanted me to do. I didn't do it. They said she'll not hear you, and God is gracious. He's so gracious. He was so gracious to me. They said she's comatose. She'll never know you're there. And I said, please ask the family if I can come. And so I went. And I stood over her bed, and she just looks gone, just gone. They said she hasn't moved. She hasn't blinked. She can't move her arms. She can't move her legs. They had the side rails of the bed up, and I leaned over the bed, and I called her by name. And I said, this is Becky. And she rose up, and she reached up a hand that was totally immobile and paralyzed, and she reached across that rail and grabbed me by the hand like that. I'll never forget it. With a grip, just trembling, with a grip like that. I waited too long. And then the next day or two, she's gone. She died. What was it God wanted me to do for her? I don't know. I didn't do it. You see, this is real important.
Yes, it is.
This is so important that when God calls on me, I say, will you excuse me? I have a real sense of prayer today. And I'll get back to you, but I've got to go. Why? Because God needs you. He needs you. He needs you. I've done some things right. I've done some things wrong. And every time I do something wrong, I say, oh, God, please forgive me. I said to her, I don't know if she hears me. I said, you know, Jesus would be your Savior. But I don't know if she got it. So far gone she was. Don't do that. Don't do what I've done. Be listening. Say, okay, God, you can depend on me. I'll do it. Oh, thank God. We used to sing, if it keeps getting better and better. The Lord keeps pouring it on. If my heart gets fuller and fuller. If I keep on singing this song. Do you know that old one? Do you know prayer gets better and better and better? You begin to know how to cooperate with heaven. Gets better and better. Becomes a privilege and a pleasure. The Lord keeps pouring it on. If the Lord keeps pouring it on. If the Lord keeps pouring it on. If my heart gets fuller and fuller. Heart gets fuller and fuller. Keep on singing this song. Shh. If the love of God pours through me. That's what God wants to do. Be His spokesman. Be His intercessor. He stood in your place. Now He's asking you to stand in theirs. Oh God, we are your people, joined to you in spirit, sensing what you sense. We thank God you forgive us of our mistakes. We don't want to make any mistakes. We want to hear your voice. If you just whisper, we want to catch in the wind the whisper of your voice. We want to yield ourselves when we know what you want. We want to yield and pray in the Spirit when we're not certain what you want. We want to be your confidential intercessors to stand in the gap for needs, the lost, the sick, the jobless, the homeless. So many needs. We can't pray about all of them, but we are connected to you to pray about the ones that you give to our spirit. And we pray in conjunction with the Word and the Holy Spirit, so we don't do this alone. We just yield to you. I covenant to yield. Say, I yield to you, Father. I yield to you, Father. I yield to you. I yield to you.